You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Court is in session. Please be seated.
All right, Mr. Lessie, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Dr. Scordy Bello, and welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to move on to a slightly different aspect of the hypothermia discussion. So, you've acknowledged previously that hypothermia is a very difficult diagnosis to make, correct?
Correct.
And you acknowledge that in your grand jury testimony in this proceeding, correct? Do you recall that?
I do.
And you indicated in that grand jury proceeding generally that diagnosing hypothermia is based on contextual clues, is that correct?
On autopsy findings and investigative information, yes.
Right, and in the last part, investigative, and that's that legal part, sort of the law enforcement contribution, is that correct that you're referring to?
Correct.
You diagnosed Mr. O'Keefe with hypothermia based upon certain medical data that you believe you observed in the gastric area and the pancreatic area. Is that correct?
Correct.
And just for, I think most people will get this, just be clear, gastric is sort of synonymous with the stomach.
Stomach.
And then we know the pancreas is a separate organ. And in your autopsy, you observed the lining of both the stomach and the pancreas, is that correct?
I'm sorry, what was the word you used?
Let's start with the stomach. Did you observe the lining of the stomach as part of Mr. O'Keefe as part of the autopsy?
Yes, I observed some hemorrhages in the lining of the stomach.
We'll get to that, right? But I just want to talk about the organs and what aspects of the organs first, and then we'll get to that. And with regard to the pancreas, what aspect of the pancreas did you observe?
I examined both the external surface and the tissues around it, as well as the pancreas itself by making several cuts.
And there was also a histopathology report that was relevant to both the stomach and the pancreas, correct?
Correct.
Histopathology?
Spell it, Mr. Lessie.
Histopathology. So that histopath information informed your hypothermia analysis, is that correct?
The histopathology was done to further confirm my finding or my determination of hypothermia.
So Do I have it correct, and let's start with the pancreas, that you noted the pancreas was congested and diffusely hemorrhagic? Do I have that correct? And you feel free to look at your report, please.
I will.
And I specifically, if it helps, I'm looking at the report of autopsy. It's not numbered pages, but it would be four. And you see liver, gallbladder, and pancreas is one. And then you go down a couple more and you see digestive system. That's what I'm focusing on.
Okay.
And then, and the next page is the histopathology.
Yes.
All right. Are we sort of oriented in the same location?
Yes.
All right. So let's start with the pancreas. So if you look at the histopathology page, it says endocrine and exocrine pancreatic tissue with vascular congestion in patchy parenchymal, that's P-A-R-E-N-C-H-Y-M-A-L, hemorrhage, autolytic changes. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
And I want to go at these one at a time, so now I'm going to jump back to the previous page where you discussed the heading liver, gallbladder, and pancreas. Do you see that?
Yes.
And you see the last sentence says the pancreas is congested and diffusely hemorrhagic. You see that?
Yes.
So now what I'd like to do, and is that what you're rooting in, if you will, the analysis of hypothermia?
The determination of hypothermia was made, yes, based on these findings and the circumstances I was provided. Yes.
Right, and thank you. I'm going to get to the circumstances, but in sort of the medical legal construct that we were talking about, I want to just start first with the medical, if that's okay with you.
Yes.
So then let's now move to the organ of the stomach, a synonym gastric in terms of your report. So let's go to, please, back to the histopathology section. And under that, under pancreas is stomach. And there's a bulleted one sentence that says gastric tissue with vascular congestion and focal mucosal hemorrhage. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
And then let's go back, as we did with the pancreas, for the stomach, go back to the previous page in your report under the heading digestive system. And the second sentence states the gastric mucosa shows focal areas of linear hemorrhages. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
So we've got hemorrhage discussion with the pancreas. We've got hemorrhage discussion with the stomach and in the gastric area. Your diagnosis of hypothermia was not based just on gastric and pancreatic hemorrhaging alone, though, was it?
No.
And you did fairly refer to other circumstances just moments ago in your answer, correct?
Correct.
And we're going to get to that. So that means that your diagnosis of hypothermia was also informed by the information we discussed earlier that was provided to you by former Trooper Proctor in his investigation. Is that correct?
Correct.
And one aspect of that information is that he was found, Mr. O'Keefe was found in the snow, correct?
Yes.
So let's go to the death notification report. Am I generally correct that you were, I'm sorry.
I will.
Thank you, Your Honor. Do you recall the death notification report in this matter?
I do recall, you know, the very initial first information that comes in. That's the death notification given to our intake staff.
Do you recall the contents of that death notification report?
Would you like me to summarize? I don't recall the, I don't have it in front of me, but I can tell you what the gist of it was.
Would it be helpful to you if I showed you a document that
sure.
might refresh your recollection on what that, a document that may refresh
she
your recollection?
She said sure. I don't think you heard her.
I did. Thank you, Your Honor.
May I approve?
Yeah, put your hand.
Yep. Thank just you. Show Mr. Brennan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dr. Scordibello, what I'd like to do, you can read anything you want, but I'm just going to reference to the section that says circumstances of death.
Yes.
What I'd like you to do is read it to yourself, not out loud, and then when you just that section. Up to here, and once you're done, if you could kindly look up and let me know.
Okay.
Dr. Scordibello, did that refresh your recollection with regard to the circumstances of death section of the death notification report?
Yes.
And you could please state now what your refreshed recollection is on that topic.
Yes. The initial intake death notification was made by a physician at the hospital, and it stated that we were dealing with a adult male that was found in a snowbank. There was note of having been at a party. There was some information as to the decedent was walking to a house. There was there was reference to some sort of altercation or dispute with
sustain.
Strike.
Jurors, disregard that. Move on with this, Mr. Lessie. With this, but just move on.
Yeah. Yes. In terms of the differential diagnosis concept that we were talking about before, based upon your refreshed recollection of circumstances of death as discussed in the death notification report, based upon that, did you consider whether Mr. O'Keefe could have been injured and died somewhere other than the front lawn of 34 Fairview?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
Initially, no.
Let's go to significance, if any, of hemorrhaging of the two organs we were talking about, the pancreas and the stomach. Is it correct that the hemorrhaging of a pancreas can be caused by many different things?
Yes, it is.
And to be clear, you found evidence of hemorrhaging of the pancreas of Mr. O'Keefe in the autopsy, correct?
Correct.
And is it correct before the grand jury, you yourself were evaluating whether the injuries had been sustained in a different environment? Well, let me ask it this way. Do you recall what your testimony was in the grand jury about hemorrhaging of the pancreas and possibilities of injuries being sustained in different environments? Do you recall a any testimony on that subject.
All right, I'll see you at 10.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. At the grand jury, did you testify as follows? If the injuries had been sustained in a different environment where the temperature wasn't that low, then there might have been an alternative explanation for those gastric and pancreatic hemorrhages. You recall that?
Yes.
Hemorrhaging of the pancreas can also be caused by blunt force trauma, correct?
Correct.
Hemorrhaging of the pancreas can be caused by CPR, correct? Cardiopulmonary resuscitation?
It's possible.
Do you know what a Lucas machine is?
Yes.
And a Lucas machine is an automated CPR machine, correct?
Correct.
And it's a rather large device, correct? It gets strapped down to the chest of someone. So instead of someone having to exercise, etc., you put on a Lucas machine that goes over the chest and it automatically does the compressions, right?
Correct.
Lucas machines can cause hemorrhaging, correct?
Yes.
And in fact, wasn't a Lucas machine applied to Mr. O'Keefe?
I believe so.
And wasn't the Lucas machine applied from when the first responders came to the scene and he was in the ambulance continually and through when he was in the hospital?
I believe so, yeah.
So, when a Lucas machine is used in resuscitation efforts, you'd actually expect to see some hemorrhaging, wouldn't you?
Where?
In the stomach? In the pancreas? Would you expect to see it there?
Not in the mucosa of the stomach and not as extensive in the pancreas.
Let's talk about and pick the pancreas first. So you would agree that from the use of a Lucas machine, you would expect some degree of hemorrhaging in the pancreas, correct?
Not always.
But it's certainly possible that a Lucas machine causes hemorrhaging of the pancreas, correct?
It's possible.
And now let's move to, and there was evidence of hemorrhaging in the pancreas of Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Correct.
Now let's move to the stomach. Isn't it possible that a Lucas machine could cause hemorrhaging in the stomach?
Personally, I have not seen it in that context.
But do you rule that out?
I can't rule it out. I can only tell you my experience.
So your personal experience is you don't believe you've seen that, but you can't rule out that a Lucas machine causes hemorrhaging to the stomach. Is that correct?
I don't believe a Lucas machine causes hemorrhage to the mucosa of the stomach.
Right. I'm not yet at the mucosa of the stomach, which is a subset of the stomach, right? You're talking about the gastric rugi.
Talking about the inner lining of the stomach.
The inner lining, and another name for the inner lining of the stomach is the gastric rugi, R-U-G-A-E, correct?
Yes.
So I'm just talking about the stomach in general, not a subset of the stomach. Is it possible that a Lucas machine could cause hemorrhaging in the stomach?
Not in the stomach, around the stomach in the soft tissues of the torso.
Okay. So you've said that you're aware that Mr. O'Keefe was hooked up to a Lucas machine, correct?
Yes.
And are you aware of the length of time that Mr. O'Keefe was hooked up to a Lucas machine?
No, I am not.
Do you know how many compressions per minute a Lucas machine causes?
I would have to say close to 60.
Would 100 compressions per minute be a reasonable amount of compressions for a Lucas machine to cause?
Sure.
So assume 37 minutes of a person hooked up to a Lucas machine, and assume 100 compressions per minute, that would result in 3,700 compressions from a Lucas machine, correct?
Correct.
Could 3,700 compressions from a Lucas machine explain hemorrhaging in the pancreas?
It could.
And that explanation could be why there's hemorrhaging in the pancreas as opposed to hypothermia causing hemorrhaging in the pancreas, correct?
Possible.
Did you consider that at all in your autopsy report, the effect of the Lucas machine? Is it written anywhere in your autopsy report?
I do consider changes due to cardiopulmonary resuscitation. The rib fractures that were observed were attributed to CPR. Usually we will see some amount of hemorrhage in the soft tissues, but in this context, with the gastric findings, the pancreatic findings, and the information that he was found in the snow with a body temperature of 80 degrees, my opinion was that those hemorrhages, along with the gastric hemorrhages and his body temperature, were consistent with hypothermia.
My question was, does your report state anywhere the words Lucas machine?
No.
And you agree that a Lucas machine could cause hemorrhaging to the pancreas?
It can cause hemorrhage in a lot of tissues.
But including the pancreas?
Including the pancreas.
If you see hemorrhaging of the pancreas, and you believe that hemorrhaging is a contributor to hypothermic deaths, wouldn't you also expect to see Wisniewski ulcers?
I did note gastric hemorrhages.
So the court reporter needs to have a spelling of that. Doctor, can you give us a spelling of that?
Would you like to give it?
If you'd like me to, I prepare to
give
it. Thank you. Wisniewski. So, can you just tell the jurors what Wisniewski spots or Wisniewski ulcers are?
Wisniewski spots are small hemorrhages, small areas of bleeding in the mucosa of the stomach that are thought to be associated with hypothermia, among other things. They're believed to be either a reaction to stress due to the hypothermia or some form of what we call reperfusion injury.
Is it correct that if someone is believed to die, at least in part, from hypothermia, that in 90% of the cases of death from hypothermia, you would find Wisniewski's ulcers?
I do not know the exact number.
Is
Is it that you're not recalling what the percentage is for how many, the percent of cases for death of hypothermia that you would expect to find Wisniewski's ulcers?
I don't.
Do you recall?
Hold on. Move on. The objection sustained. Okay. So you're asking it. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you. There were no Wisniewski's ulcers present in Mr. O'Keefe. Is that correct?
I believe there were.
Can you point anywhere in your autopsy report where the word Wisniewski appears?
I did not call them Wisniewski spots. I called them gastric hemorrhages.
Right, so you didn't use the term Wisniewski and you didn't use the term ulcer, correct, in your report at all?
No, I used gastric hemorrhages under the title of hypothermia.
Do you believe that all hemorrhages in the pancreas are Wisniewski ulcers?
You mean the stomach?
I want to start with the pancreas.
Wisniewski ulcers are, the term is used to describe the gastric hemorrhages.
Right, so I wanted to clarify that. So now I want to move to the stomach.
Okay.
Do you believe all hemorrhages in the stomach are Wisniewski ulcers?
Not all of them.
Therefore, there can be Wisniewski ulcers and not be hemorrhaging, correct? Just by logic?
And not be hemorrhaging?
Correct. You can have a Wisniewski ulcer but not have hemorrhaging.
You could, but ulceration would manifest in what we call hemorrhage, the actual appearance of it.
What I'd like to do now is, Mr. Wolf, what has been in evidence, what I'd like to do is to, with your Honor's permission, publish some depictions of first the gastric mucosa, and then start with that, Your Honor, publish that.
All right, so this is the one that we have not introduced into evidence openly, but at sidebar, right?
What I'd like to do is to, I'll start out with the one that is in evidence, which is the gastric mucosa.
Okay,
with that.
What number?
Your Honor, it just
okay, so that was the one I was referring to that we did at sidebar, not in open court. Okay.
Yes,
it's NN Friday.
And I'd like to move NN into evidence at this time.
All right. All I'll say about this jurors is that this may be considered graphic. You satisfied with that, Mr. Lessie?
I'm satisfied with that, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Brennan, you satisfied with that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
This is 164.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Dr. Stupabello, I'm handing you Exhibit 164 in evidence, and I'm going to also, with the court's permission, have it published on the screen. So whatever one is best for you to look at the screen, please feel free to look at either one. Mr. Wolk, if you could publish 164. Dr. Scordibello, do you recognize 164 as the, well, you describe what 164 is.
This is a picture of the stomach of Mr. O'Keefe after it was removed and opened and the contents were removed. And what you're looking at, this pink-red surface is the mucosa. That's the lining of the stomach. And you had used the word rugae before. These are the folds. The stomach has a lot of folds. And what you can see here are small areas that are redder than everything else. That's hemorrhage, that's blood. And these are the gastric hemorrhages that I described.
Right, so those are the, what you just showed, there's darker areas, there's just a few of them. That is what you refer to as hemorrhages, correct?
Wisniewski's was correct.
Well, you didn't use Wisniewski's in your report, correct? You referred
correct.
To them as hemorrhages.
Correct.
Okay. So what I'd like to do now is to, if I may approach, Your Honor,
yes.
for the chalk.
This is
a chalk
process.
Exhibit MM.
MM. Your Honor, with Your Honor's permission, may I show Dr. Scordibello the chalk that's marked for identification as MM?
Yes, and let's see what she answers before we use it for more questions,
Understood.
Okay?
Yes. May I hand it to
yes.
you? Yes. Dr. Scordibello, could you please take what's identified as Exhibit M? And see if you can identify what that depicts.
Yes, this is a picture of a stomach, again, the mucosa with hemorrhage.
Could you hold for these, sorry? Not your fault.
Your Honor, can we take a break?
Yes.
Yours.
Yes.
Right for jury. Jurors, right this way, please.
I'll see counsel at sidebar, please.
Please be seated. Court is in session.
All right, Mr. Lessie, you can continue where you left off.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I reapproach the witness?
Yes.
Dr. Scordibello, you have in front of you, which has been marked for identification as MM, and you were discussing that. Do you recognize that document? It sort of startled or reoriented you. You recognize that?
I recognize what it is, yes.
And what is it?
It is a picture of a stomach, of the mucosa of a stomach with multiple hemorrhages.
And does that exhibit fairly and accurately depict a stomach with what you have referred to as multiple ulcers?
Yes.
Your Honor, I offer that into evidence.
I object to any as a chalk.
You know what? If I can use it as a public, a chalk.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, that's what I'll do, Your Honor. Thank you, Mr. President.
So you can have it displayed.
Thank you. And again, I'll leave this hard copy with the court reporter, and we'll use the
Oh, so it's not in evidence.
It is not.
It's marked for identification.
Yes, marked for identification, and we are with it.
Mr. Wolf. Dr. Scordibello, is that the depiction that you were just describing at your witness stand?
Yes.
And could you please, with the laser pointer, state what you see in this depiction?
So this is a stomach. This is the mucosa, the fold of the stomach. They're not very folded in this particular picture. But you can see these distinct areas that are that have a darker coloration. That's blood. These are hemorrhages.
And to be clear, this is not the stomach of Mr. O'Keefe. This is a medical reference depiction to sort of generic or some other depiction other than Mr. O'Keefe's stomach, correct?
Correct.
If we could, with your Honor's permission, Mr. Wolk, put side by side this chalk with what is in evidence as the actual gastric mucosa of Mr. O'Keefe.
All right. The objection sustained.
Could we, with your Honor's permission, publish simply Mr. O'Keefe's
yes.
gastric mucosa?
Yes.
Isn't it correct, Dr. Scordibello, that there are much less dark spots in this depiction of the gastric mucosa than there were in the chalk that we just displayed? In other words, that green depiction, what I'll just refer to as a generic stomach. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So, you can take that down, Mr. Wolf. Isn't it correct that for hypothermia and the presence of Wisniewski's ulcers or spots, that you have to have a predominance of the stomach covered by the spots for them to be Wisniewski ulcers?
I think there's different levels and different grades.
In hypothermia, particularly death from hypothermia, wouldn't you expect to see a predominance of those ulcers, meaning they take up most of the stomach lining? Isn't that what you would expect to see?
Not always. I have seen that. I have also seen cases with much fewer spots, as you refer to them.
But isn't the majority of the cases that you have seen where someone has actually died from hypothermia that the ulcers predominate, take up greater than 50% of the stomach?
Yes.
And what percentage of the, and I'm trying to avoid putting it up again, so what percentage of the gastric mucosa of Mr. O'Keefe would you estimate is taken up by the ulcers that you have identified?
I would say somewhere between 10-15%.
Just 10-15%. Thank you. Now, if we could look to the issue of continuing with hypothermia, let's go to frostbite. Do you note any evidence of frostbite on the deceased, Mr. O'Keefe?
No, I did not.
Do you know what the weather conditions were in Canton, New York on the early morning?
Massachusetts.
I'm sorry, I keep saying Canton, New York. My apologies. Do you know the weather conditions in Canton, Massachusetts, starting at midnight on January 29, 2022, going through 6 a.m. on January 29, 2022?
It was very cold. There was a blizzard coming.
They called it a nor'easter, right?
Correct.
And when you say very cold, in addition to very cold, do you recall whether there were gusty winds?
I believe so.
And do you understand that when there's a very cold temperature in Fahrenheit and you add gusty winds, that is called, when you apply the two together, that's called wind chill, right?
Correct.
And with wind chill, doesn't the phenomenon of wind chill mean that the wind combined with the temperature brings the actual temperature down, and in addition to bringing it down, temperature in a wind chill calculation, it also has a physical effect on the body, correct? Wind chill. Doesn't wind chill also cause greater effects than if there was no wind?
Correct.
So in medical terms, the wind synergizes with the temperature and exacerbates the effect on a human.
Correct.
And with a wind chill, isn't it correct that you would have a greater chance of frostbite than if there was no wind chill effect at all?
Yes.
So, you saw no signs of frostbite on Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
At the time of my examination and at the time of autopsy, no, I did not.
Did you see frostbite at any other time with regard to Mr. O'Keefe?
I only examined him at the time of autopsy.
So at the only time you examined him, which is at the time of autopsy, you had zero signs of frostbite, correct?
Correct.
Dr. Scordibello, now that you have gone through this part of your examination here today, would you like to amend in any way your opinions as to whether hypothermia was any cause of the death of Mr. O'Keefe?
No, I don't. I still believe that there were hypothermic signs.
Hypothermic signs, correct?
Yes.
I'd like to move to another topic area, please. You did not include in your autopsy in any fashion any discussion of whether Mr. O'Keefe's injuries were consistent with a motor vehicle accident, did you?
No, I did not.
In fact, there were no injuries consistent with a motor vehicle impact on Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Objection. Sustained.
Did you evaluate it all in your autopsy whether Mr. O'Keefe had any injuries consistent with a motor vehicle accident?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
Yes, I did examine his lower extremities. That is protocol in any case of suspected impact with a motor vehicle. So I did examine his legs and I did not see any evidence of an impact site.
And can you elaborate to the jury what you mean by no evidence of an impact site?
I'm going to sustain that objection.
What do you mean in your answer, no evidence of impact injuries?
Objection. I'll allow that.
What I look for is some sort of bruise either on the outside of the leg or bleeding on the inside after the skin is reflected in the soft tissues, or any fracture of the bones of the legs. I did not observe those things.
That was going to be my question. You did not observe any of those things, correct?
Correct.
I'd like to turn to, please, the face of the decedent in your analysis that you discussed on direct examination of that area of the decedent. You talked about ecchymosis, you recall that?
Yes.
In medical literature, there's a synonym for ecchymosis that's sometimes referred to as raccoon eyes. Is that correct?
Correct.
Ecchymosis doesn't cause a laceration to an eyelid, does it?
No.
Ecchymosis does not cause a laceration to a nose, does it?
There was an abrasion on the nose, but no, the answer is no.
Correct. So ecchymosis doesn't cause a laceration to the nose. Correct?
Correct.
Did your report at all evaluate whether there was any significance of the laceration to the eyelid that you spoke about in your direct testimony?
What do you mean?
Other than just noting that there was a laceration to the eyelid, did your report at all evaluate the potential significance, if any, of that laceration to the eyelid?
I noted it and photographed it, and it was part of the totality of the blunt impact injuries that I noted on both the face and the head.
Do you believe that the laceration to the eyelid could be caused by a blunt impact injury?
A laceration, by definition, is a blunt impact injury.
Do you believe the eyelid laceration was caused by a blunt impact injury from falling backwards and hitting one's head?
Not from falling backwards and hitting one's head, but that area at some point came in contact with a blunt object or surface.
Okay, if I could follow up on that, please. So you agree that if a person falls and hits the back of their head, that they cannot sustain an eyelid injury, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And if somebody falls backward and hits their head, they can't sustain, from that impact of the back of the head, a laceration to the nose, correct?
Correct.
So if we could, Mr. Wolk, and with your honor's permission, publish which is already in evidence, which are depictions. Let's start out with, please, the laceration to the right eyelid. And Dr. Scordibello, is this the laceration to the right eyelid that we've been talking about of Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And that injury could not be caused by a fall backwards in one hitting their head, correct?
No.
I'm sorry, we'll just need, and then I'm going to repeat the question. Can you state your answer again? Oh, let me that injury to the right eyelid, that laceration, could not be caused by someone falling backwards and hitting their head, correct?
Correct.
Bear with me one moment, Your Honor. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes. Show Mr. Brenner.
Your Honor, I erroneously assumed that that picture was in evidence, and I would like to now properly lay the foundation if I could.
Okay.
Dr. Scordibello, you see what's in front of you. Can we mark this?
So, Mr. Brennan, are you objecting to that coming into evidence? Okay, so let's just put it in evidence.
Exhibit 165.
Thank you.
Yeah, Your Honor.
Yes.
Dr. Scordibello, I place before you what is in evidence now is 165. And Your Honor, may I have Mr. Wolf publish 165? Thank you, Mr. Wolf. So, Dr. Scordibello, that laceration to the right eyelid could not be caused by a fall backwards where someone hits the back of the head, correct?
Correct.
So that injury, you've called, what do you label that category? Traumatic, did you use that phraseology?
Blunt impact.
Blunt impact. So that's a blunt, in your opinion, that's a blunt impact injury, correct?
Correct.
So is it correct that that injury had to occur in some manner other than falling backwards and hitting one's head?
Yes.
And is that injury consistent or inconsistent with a punch?
Gotcha. I'll allow it.
It could be consistent.
If we could, Mr. Woke, have the laceration to the nose. I'm sorry, hold off on a moment. Your Honor, Mr. Brennan has agreed to stipulate that this going.
Okay, so like we can mark it.
Exhibit 166.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Scordibello, I have put before you what is in evidence is 166, and Your Honor, may Mr. Wolf publish.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Scordibello, does that exhibit fairly and accurately depict the laceration to the nose of Mr. O'Keefe?
Yeah, it's an abrasion. I described it as an abrasion, as a scrape.
So you would classify that as a scrape?
Yes.
That scrape could not be caused by someone falling backwards and hitting the back of their head, could it?
Not by a single event, no.
You can take that down, Mr. Wolf. On your direct testimony, you talked about injuries to the right arm of Mr. O'Keefe. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And is it correct that you, in your autopsy report, did not determine the cause of those wounds to Mr. O'Keefe's right arm?
That's correct.
With Your Honor's permission, I would like to Mr. Brennan. Your Honor, Mr. Brennan has agreed to stipulate into evidence these two photographs. May I please have them
yes.
marked as next evidence?
Exhibits 167 and 168.
Thank you.
I'm going to do the same thing, if I may, Dr. Scordibello. I'm going to leave these with you, but I'm also going to, with the court's permission, have them published
use whatever one best allows you to answer the question. Your Honor, may I have Mr. Wolf publish those two? Thank you. With regard to what is on the screen, am I correct that you noted these injuries to and these wounds to Mr. O'Keefe in your autopsy report?
Yes.
And am I correct that you noted that there was a pattern to those wounds?
Correct.
And although you noted there was a pattern to the wounds, you were not able to determine the cause of those pattern wounds. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Are those injuries consistent with a dog bite?
Based on her answer to the last question, ask something else.
I'm sorry, couldn't hear you?
Ask another question, sustain.
Can you identify any cause of those injuries that would be consistent with what is depicted on the screen?
Objection.
So, can you answer that, Doctor?
I cannot.
You can take that down, Mr. Wolf. Thank you. Do you recall discussing at all on your direct examination? Well, let me ask it this way. Did you evaluate at all in your autopsy a gray hoodie sweatshirt of Mr. O'Keefe?
No, I did not.
So, were you aware that there was clothing associated with Mr. O'Keefe when he came as part of the autopsy?
He did not have any clothing that came to us. The clothing was removed at the hospital and was packaged and, I believe, submitted as evidence.
So the clothing of Mr. O'Keefe, a t-shirt or a hoodie, didn't make its way to him?
No.
You were unable to reach a determination as to the manner of death of Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
That is correct.
So you have doubts about the manner of death of Mr. O'Keefe, and you consider those doubts reasonable?
Objection.
Sustained. Sustained.
You were not able to reach a determination as to the manner of death of Mr. O'Keefe, correct?
Correct.
And manner of death, as you've testified, includes the circumstances surrounding death in addition to the medical analysis that you performed.
Okay. I'm sustaining it, asked and answered.
Thank you for answering my questions, Dr. Scordibello.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you, Mr. Leslie, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you.
Doctor, how many autopsies have you performed in your professional career?
At this point, more than 1,200.
When the person is brought to you, are they usually clothed?
It depends on the circumstances. If a person comes directly from their residence, they may or may not be clothed. If the person comes from a hospital where they went first for treatment, many times the person is unclothed. They may be wearing a hospital gown, but in most cases that clothing has already been removed.
If that clothing has already been processed, is it common that it would be brought to you for inspection?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained is to the point.
Is clothing that is not accompanying the person's body commonly brought to you for observation?
Objection, Your Honor.
So let's move on. Or ask it.
You were asked questions about your opinions relative to spots in the organs of Mr. O'Keefe. And you were asked about part of your statement in the grand jury. When you provide statements, is it important to have the statement in context to understand it?
Yes.
Is it important to have a complete statement rather than just part of a statement?
Yes.
And when you were asked the question that counsel asked you, do you remember that grand jury testimony you gave?
I remember it was a long time ago.
Okay.
But I do remember most of it.
Do you remember when he read part of your answer? It was in response to a grand juror's question?
Yes.
And he read part to you, right, I understand your question, and my answer is that I don't know, but given the environment, so if the injuries had been sustained in a different environment where the temperature wasn't that low, then there might have been an alternative explanation for those gastric and pancreatic hemorrhages. Do you remember that?
Objection, Your Honor.
The doctor can answer that question.
Do you remember Attorney Alisi read you that part of your statement?
Yes.
Do you remember that you had more to that statement that was left off when he confronted you with it?
I'm sure there's more to the statement.
To complete your statement, you said, but in the whole context, I believe that those are signs of hypothermia and not caused. Do you remember that completion to your statement?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained. You can show her the statement.
Okay. I can approach.
Ask you to take a look at part of your grand jury testimony. Do you remember Attorney Alisi reading part of your answer back?
Objection, Your Honor.
So I'll strike that. Have the witness look at it and go through.
Will you ask about your entire answer or just part of it?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Can you read the rest of the answer that you weren't given when it was read to you?
Objection, Your Honor.
So this is phrased as refreshing our collection, so follow it appropriately.
Do you now remember there was more to your answer?
Yes.
Could you share with us the rest of your answer?
Without reading
Objection,
it.
Objection, Your with Honor.
The, without reading it. Turn the paper over, please.
I can take it, Your Honor.
Ask the appropriate questions to him.
Do you remember the part that was left out?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Does it refresh your memory to the rest of your statement to the grand jury?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
After looking at this, does it refresh your memory to the rest of your statement you made to the grand jury?
Yes.
And could you share the rest of your statement with the jury, please?
The rest of the statement was that I have to take those findings in the context which was presented to me. So in the case of this particular case, those hemorrhages, in the context of a body found in the snow, I believe they were due to hypothermia.
Is your answer more complete in context?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
You were shown a photograph of two individuals that were in the room at the time of autopsy. Do you remember that photograph?
Yes, I do.
And you were asked about certain names?
Correct.
You said that there would be a log identifying names?
It would be a log, yes.
A log. Do you remember exactly who logged in to that autopsy?
No, I don't remember their names.
May I approach?
Show Mr. Lessing.
It's part of the MA report. Take a look at you doing the report. You have it.
Your Honor, if we need sidebar to explain, we just need a moment to take a look.
I can move on and we'll come back to it, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Brennan.
You mentioned that Mr. O'Keefe's body temperature was a little under 81 degrees when he was brought to the hospital?
Yes, that's what the hospital records stated.
And again, a normal body temperature is?
98 degrees.
So there was, is it fair to say there was over an 18 degree drop in his body temperature?
Correct.
You shared with us that you generally understood it was a blizzard and cold outside. Do you have any experience on how rapidly a body temperature will drop outside?
A body temperature?
Yes.
Objection, Your Honor.
No, it's within the scope. Let's see if she's got the basis for it.
The rate that the body loses heat depends on a number of factors. Depends on conditions, weather conditions. It depends on the original temperature of the body. And the higher the gradient between the body temperature and the environmental temperature, the faster the drop will occur.
You were asked if there was any signs of frostbite. There was no type of freezer burns or anything on Mr. O'Keefe's body, was there?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Was there any type of burns on his body that would suggest that he was put in some type of machine or environment where there was cooling, mechanical cooling?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained. Sustained. Move on, Mr. Brennan.
You were shown a photograph, a chalk, that had spots on them. Do you know where that photograph came from?
I do not.
Do you know who that was from, what person that was from?
No, I do not know the context of that picture.
Do you have any information on the circumstances which led to that condition?
I do not.
Do you have any information about what caused the condition that you saw on that chalk?
I have seen similar pictures in textbooks depicting gastric hemorrhages or Wyschnewski spots.
You were asked about your role as a medical examiner, and there were a number of questions about your assessment from a legal perspective.
Yes.
You mentioned that you had information from a police report. How many police reports were you given?
There was a preliminary police report, I believe, the day of the autopsy, and communications with law enforcement in the days and weeks following.
May I approach?
Yes.
Showing you a document. Do you recognize that document?
Yes.
What is it?
This is a police report on this particular case.
Is that a police report from your file?
Yes.
And that police report, is that the police report that you considered?
Amongst other information, yes.
How many lines is that police report?
11.
What's the date and time of that police report?
This was initiated on January 29th. It says at 1941.
I have this marked for identification, all right?
Okay.
May I hand the witness another document?
Let us mark it.
Oh, sorry, I may have that back.
Yeah.
QQ for identification.
Thank you. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Second document, was that another document in your file?
Yes.
And is that another report to be considered?
Yes.
How many lines is that report?
Five.
I'd move to have this marked for identification, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Exhibit RR for identification.
May I approach again?
Yes.
I'm going to go back to the questions I asked you about logging in and refreshing your memory. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hand you a document. I'm not going to ask you to read it aloud. I'm just going to ask you to look at it. Does it refresh your memory on people who attended the autopsy?
Yes.
And who were they?
I believe one person was Mr. Keefe and the other one was Mr. Cornyn.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.